Hello, hello, and welcome to the Travel Now podcast. If you're looking for inspiration for your next adventure, for money-saving ways to book, or ideas to get the most out of your time away, then this is the podcast for you. Hello, how are you doing? I'm Luke Richardson. I'm an author of thriller novels, and I have to confess, a total travel addict. In this podcast, I'll bring you stories from my travels, interviews with people who've been to places I want to go, and, very excitingly, live episodes from the road, and a couple of live episodes from the road coming up very soon that I'm going to not tell you anything about today, because I want to keep them a surprise, but check out the podcast feed, they'll be up soon. As it stands at the moment, it's the middle of November. The door is open. I'm sat in the kitchen recording this podcast and the patio door is open. And it's a really, you know, it's quite a warm November day, which is absolutely lovely. You may have heard just an aeroplane going over, but it's nice to be in the UK at the moment when the weather is not too bad, although winter is just around the corner for us. Before we dive in today's super inspiring, super insightful interview, I absolutely love this conversation. I want to talk to you quickly about how you can help me spread travel inspiration as far and as wide as possible. There's two things you can do to help me should you be inclined, and I'd be massively appreciative if so. Number one, leave a review for this podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts if you're a Mac user or an iPhone user or whatever. You go to Apple Podcasts and you leave your review there, and that helps other people take a chance on it, and it helps Apple decide whether or not they want to promote us, show us to new people. Secondly, if you know anyone who could do with a little bit of travel inspiration or loves travel stories, send this podcast their way. Even in this world of algorithms and online thingamy-whatnots, actually, a recommendation from a friend is so valuable, isn't it? It feels sometimes like everyone's trying to sell us something. So a recommendation from a friend goes down really well, I always think. Another plane, can you hear that? There's loads going over right now. So, you know what? I absolutely love doing this podcast. I get to talk to such inspiring people about the experiences that made them that way. And what could be better than that? It's an absolute privilege and a pleasure to be able to do it. There are times, though, when I feel like a little bit of a travel amateur. You know, I've travelled a fair bit. I've done a fair number of trips, but I've still got a lot to go. Especially, though, with this interview today, I'm talking with a lady who's been around more of the world than I think I could even name. She's visited over 70 countries and every single continent on the planet. I know what you're thinking, though. That must be a whole lifetime of travelling, right? But no. Caitlin Lubis is just 23 years young. That's an incredible, incredible achievement. And now she's turned her wealth of experience into a book titled You Are Where You Go. You can search your favourite bookstore for that, or there's a link in the show notes below. Our conversation today, though, meanders through some of the destinations that Caitlin recommends, why she thinks travel is so transformational, and how you can make long-term travel work as part of a balanced and successful lifestyle. Prepare, as ever, with this podcast to be inspired. Let's listen in. This podcast is sponsored by Bucket List. If you're an experienced traveller or planning your first trip away, get to bucketlist.co for your inspiration. You can browse destinations, compare excursions, read blog posts from people who've been there, and then add those you like to your online bucket list. Caitlin, hello. Thank you for joining me and welcome to the Travel Now podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I think it's going to be an inspiring one. So you're currently back in the States after what seems like quite an epic few years of travel. You know, talk me, where did it all begin? Where did your travel journey start? Let's rewind right to the beginning and start from there.
Yeah, so I mean, I went to college, knew I wanted to try to study abroad and travel as much as possible during college, which is part of the reason why I chose to study at New York University, because they have a lot of global campuses, a lot of study abroad opportunities, and just an overall kind of encouragement of actually getting kids to go out and see the world and not just stay on their home campus. So I started out doing my first study abroad experience when I was 18. I went to Ghana as part of a class trip where we were learning about social entrepreneurship and ways to really understand how a business gets built from the ground up. And that was definitely a place I didn't imagine myself visiting kind of just as a part of my everyday life. Like going to Ghana was definitely something that felt well outside of my comfort zone. And I think it was really on that trip itself that I realized, wow, I love being in a place that is so unlike anywhere I've ever been before. I like experiencing this entirely new way of life. And I just knew from that point forward, the best way to really learn about the world and really learn about myself was from traveling and exposing myself to all of these very outlandish, very different places. So I made a goal for myself at that point when I was in my first year of university to actually visit all 7 continents and as many countries as possible during college. And I was able to really complete that goal because last year in the beginning of 2020, kind of before the whole pandemic happened, I hit Antarctica, which is my final continent, and had basically ended up clocking around 70 countries during my 3.5 years of college.
Wow. Incredible. And Antarctica is quite a difficult one to just end up on, isn't it? You know, you've really got to plan that. You can't just pop by.
Definitely took a lot of planning. I think kind of as soon as I set that goal for myself to be like, all right, I want to go to all 7 continents. How can I make this happen? I really started doing a lot of research, kind of understanding what were my options for different study abroad or just solo travel opportunities. How do you even logistically get to places that are kind of hard to reach like Antarctica? And as the research kind of was coming about in my search for these answers, I definitely knew I had to book things in advance, kind of like have a plan. So I actually structured my whole undergraduate education to enable me to graduate a semester early. So I would have kind of 6 months to travel before maybe starting a full-time job and things like that. So I booked a trip for Antarctica about a year in advance and then was able to just go get down there and explore the Southern Ocean, which is amazing.
Amazing. It's a part of the world I know nothing about and would absolutely love to explore at some point. Well, I'm sure I will explore at some point. You've said so many things there that are really interesting to me. And I'm going to come back to a couple of them. Firstly, though, what you've talked about there is sort of the comparison between, I suppose, going to the places that are quite common tourist destinations, you know, the Thailands, the Vietnams, the New York City, you know, you're in California at the moment. California is probably one of those places as well. What do you think in your experience, your vast experience now, is the difference between ending up in those places that are very well traveled, that are great fun to travel, and I think it's important to travel to, but also those real off the grid, difficult, end of the world. I'm thinking you went to Patagonia in Argentina, you know, somewhere like that, where is quite a difficult place to get to. You know, what's the difference in experience as a traveler, do you think?
It's definitely a huge difference in experience. I think similar to what you were saying, like these places kind of that everyone tends to go to, when you go there, I feel like you have this mindset of there are some things that I'm supposed to be seeing. There are kind of these experiences that I'm supposed to have, because if I go home and I get home from a trip from, let's say, like Paris or London, a lot of people are going to have been there and they'll be asking me like, oh, did you go to this place? Did you do this thing that I did? And I think that's one mode of travel, kind of like getting yourself up to like a bar of kind of like, all right, everyone's done this. I need to kind of do this to like be a normal person who's like done these kind of typical travel experiences. But when you go to these off the beaten path type of destinations, like honestly, most of Africa or most of South America, and especially places like Antarctica or even kind of like hidden gems within Europe, like I always call it like Slovenia and Malta are some of my favorite places. And some people don't even know where those are. I think destinations like this, you have a little more creative freedom because there's not so much a list of places you're supposed to kind of like check off and see, but it's more of what, like, why did I really come here in the first place? Did I want to seek adventure? Did I want to exposing myself to something completely new? Did I kind of want to go into a place without any expectations at all and really just enable myself to explore it for my own satisfaction and my own benefit of learning and kind of challenging myself? I think it's those off the beaten path type of destinations that give you a lot more, I guess, like flexibility and independence to be like, I can make this trip my own. I'm not necessarily going into this with a list of things that I feel like I have to see or I'm supposed to see.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really like what you said there about sort of looking inwards and in the planning process, being quite self-reflective about why is this travel important to me? And I know that's perhaps something I haven't thought about that much in the past. I've just wanted to go at travel in the same sort of ambition like I do everything else. You know, I want to get as far away. I want to do this. I want to go to the most exciting place without actually thinking, okay, let's really stop and think about why that's sort of important. And that sort of touches on the other thing that you mentioned during your first answer, which was about sort of how you felt travel helped you learn about yourself. I think that's very quite poignant. Yeah, talk me through that. What do you mean by that? How does it help you learn about yourself? And what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I do think that I've always viewed travel as a really great way to learn about obviously the world and the new places you're visiting, but also really as an opportunity to reflect on kind of how did these places make an impression on me, and how did these things that I saw there, things that I experienced there, things that I ate there, how did that really change my own perception and my own values even? I think that the things that you find interesting or the things that you find different or the things that you find normal are all very relative to what you have previously experienced. So every time you travel and kind of gain these new experiences, gain these new perspectives, it kind of shifts your baseline of what you consider normal. And I think that really ends up really changing a lot of the ways that you think about yourself, a lot of the ways that you end up thinking about like what is a necessity in life is very different to a lot of people around the world. It's kind of what is something that is a luxury, what is something that is fun or kind of out of the ordinary, definitely changes based on where you are and kind of what your environment is. So I think the more that I've been able to kind of live in different corners of the world, talk to different people in different corners of the world, and really understand how everyone has this different perception of what is normal has really shaped the way that I view what is normal and what I kind of either appreciate a lot more or maybe take less for granted in my personal life once I've gotten back home.
Yeah, I totally see that. And I think it takes a certain level of understanding to, and I think this is something that comes through travel and reading and meeting different people and being exposed to different ideas. It takes quite an intelligence to sort of know what your perspective is and see that perspective. I think a lot of people, myself included in the past, have looked at something without seeing the perspective from which I'm looking at that. And I remember my first trip to India as an example of this, you know, and never had it been more obvious the sort of affluence that I'd lived in, you know, the sort of situation that I'd come from when I was walking through the streets of Mumbai on that first trip. And it wasn't a special day by any, it wasn't a special Mumbai day. It was just a normal day for the rest of for that place. But for me, it was quite life-changing, and I can sort of understand that. Are there any places for you that you have really, because that's one that will always stand out as something that's shifted my perceptions of the world. Is there any places for you that have stood out as a real game changer, as a real paradigm shift when you got out of that plane and wandered out through the gates of the airport into this other world, you know?
Yeah. I think I mentioned this before, but I do think the first place that I went to kind of as an independent traveler, mm-hmm. like during college, kind of like an adult without friends or family accompanying me on the trip, when I went to Ghana, it did have that sort of awakening moment type of feeling where I felt definitely very outside of my comfort zone. Definitely, I mean, Africa is worlds away from my life in like New York City in a very affluent suburb where I grew up. So even just seeing like different levels of like styles of living and like people getting around with different types of transportation, kind of like eating very different foods. It was really very different than I had gone to, I guess, like Western Europe, kind of all the touristy spots. I had gone to Thailand and the Philippines before, where my mom is from, but I think it was still drastically different for the first time. I felt extremely almost like I had no idea what to expect. And I think actually going to a place like that really made me want to see more places like that, kind of just like jumping into experiences where I had no idea what to expect. I knew it was going to be extremely different, and I kind of went into future trips to kind of like far-flung and off the beaten path type of destinations, knowing that I would feel that sense of discomfort. It's almost something that I seek out nowadays. Like when you get off the plane and you go into the airport and the language is just like nothing you've ever seen before. There's characters that you have never even imagined could look like that before. I think that immediate sense of, okay, I'm in a very different place. I'm here as the person who doesn't know what's going on. I'm here to learn. I'm going to be humble and just like take in what's all around me. I think that that first trip to Ghana really taught me to embrace that feeling and really to seek it out as much as possible.
Yeah, I definitely do seek it out. I know I have done. And I know having traveled to, I went to the Gambia in Africa, having gone to India, and I wanted it to be challenging. I wanted it to be as challenging. I don't feel like it was, but I think that was because I had already experienced something like that before. So, and I wonder whether you can have such a mad paradigm shift more than once in your life. I wonder whether that's just a first travel sort of culture shock. You know, do you still feel that, or do you feel like now, having been to 70 countries and 7 continents, that you've become a bit more normalized to that sort of lifestyle? Or do you still get that adrenaline rush when you're in a place like that?
I definitely do think I will never experience the same level of kind of like shock and surprise as I did when I first started traveling a lot. I definitely feel more comfortable now, like being in a place where no one is speaking my language. It's almost like that's not jarring to me. I actually like that.
I do. I love to sit. Sorry to interrupt you. I love sitting in a restaurant where I can't hear English anywhere. It's really great. Sorry, go on.
No, yeah, I think that's a feeling that a lot of people who've traveled a lot get, in the sense of you kind of seek out this, you enjoy it. It's a nice feeling to feel like, all right, I actually am in a different country. My trip is worth it. I'm experiencing something new. I don't think that I will ever get 100% like, I guess like blasé or like not caring that I'm in a new country. It's always still very exciting. But I think especially in the last couple of months, I've been kind of traveling while working. And that's a very different experience than, let's say, just traveling for vacationing or just traveling for the heck of traveling. So I think there's a lot to balance as you get into like different modes of travel of like, is this more of a lifestyle of being nomadic, or is this just simply like a 2-week break from life? Is it a trip that I'm seeking to accomplish something in specific? I think I'm kind of getting more accustomed to these different types of travel and different like motivations for travel. So it always, that's what keeps it interesting, I think, kind of like the different mindsets that you can have as you enter a trip.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think you're in a sort of a small group of people who travel for various reasons. You know, some people travel for business, of course, but I think most people, it is a holiday and they leave their laptop at home and they take a collection of paperback books and they just relax for 2 weeks, you know. But I think you're right. And I think that's great. An idea that you go, you sort of have an intention with what that trip might be. So what does life look like for you now then? You've talked then, just out of interest, you talked then about working on the road. Are you sort of doing the full-time traveler thing, or are you based somewhere and take frequent trips outside of that?
Yeah. So I think for the past few months, I quit my job in July to kind of focus on travel and see if that would be a lifestyle that I wanted to really pursue of like full-time travel. And I traveled had a pretty hectic travel schedule this past summer. I think pretty much every week I was on a plane, seeing a new city, visiting new friends around the country, which I think, especially after a year like the past one where we've been kind of all holed up in our own homes, it was very refreshing and much needed to be able to see so many people around the country and even friends in Europe who I hadn't seen in a very long time. But I think I definitely realized that if you're going to make travel your lifestyle and kind of be a constant nomad hopping around, you can't do the kind of hectic, like one place a week type of thing. You definitely will benefit from being in a place for a full month and having time to actually like work or like do the things that you have to do during the week while also having time either after work or on the weekends to do the proper kind of exploring, relaxing type of, I guess, like sightseeing. So I definitely have realized that full-time like aggressive travel is not for me. And I don't think I would have known that unless I went into it and did it. But now I'm kind of in a mindset of, I want to be in a place for at least a month. I want to have the opportunity to really see the things I want to see or like catch up with all the people in a certain place that I want to. And also figuring out what is kind of like the cadence for working while moving around so much. It's definitely been a challenge and an adventure, but I'm glad I'm doing this at the age of 23. So I can kind of figure out how I want to do, I guess, the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it does take some figuring out. I think with any lifestyle, it takes some figuring out, doesn't it? And seeing, you know, just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for someone else. Just because it works for them mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So you've got to sort of find your balance. Yeah, amazing. To have done all this at the age of 23, as you say as well, incredible stuff. So let's talk about your book, which I'm really excited about. Out in a couple of weeks' time. Obviously, I'll put the links in the show notes of the podcast for the pre-order. You Are Where You Go is the title. When were you first inspired to write this?
Yeah, I think I had always had an inkling that I should write something. As soon as I started traveling a lot and kind of became known amongst friends and family and even just people in my university as like, okay, this girl, she travels a lot. That's kind of my reputation. I knew there were so many people always reaching out, just wanting to know more about kind of how did you do that? How did you even adopt the mindset to do that? What were some of these places like, especially the very off the beaten path type of places like going to Antarctica or trekking through Patagonia, or like I went on a camping safari for 6 weeks throughout Eastern Africa, kind of these very unique experiences. So many people always wanted to know kind of what are all the details? I want to hear all the stories. And I have so many stories to tell, and I'm very lucky to have had all these experiences, especially from, I think, a young person's perspective is something that I felt was missing from a lot of travel writing, because I've read a lot of travel writing books. I love reading about people's adventures, and it's normally from people who, I guess, have made a career out of travel writing. They're a little bit older. Maybe they kind of had this like midlife crisis and then went off and traveled the world. I feel like that's more of the common blueprint, but I hadn't really read a story or a collection of stories from someone who was still in that young person's kind of mindset of maybe I'm not traveling as a career, but it is just something that I like doing. And I know that it can help shape the person that I'm becoming. So I think all of those ideas kind of combined into me being like, all right, I have a cool experience. I have a cool perspective. It's very unique. And I feel like it's something the world could benefit from hearing. So I just decided to sit down and finally write down all these stories that have been swimming around in my head or that I've retold so many times in actual person-to-person conversations.
No, brilliant. I think you're absolutely right. And I think there's an important thing when you're traveling is to record that in some way, whether that's a lot of people now use photographs or videos or audio or writing or whatever form. I think recording that is a really sort of special way. I love looking back at some of my old travel photos and thinking, wow, remember when I saw this, etc.
Yeah.
The title, You Are Where You Go, I really like that. I think that's it's quite sort of, yeah, it's a good attitude that I sort of think about, actually, in that you're talking there about the transformational nature, I suppose, of traveling, and it's how that has changed you as a person, how that is sort of developing you as a person. With that in mind, is this book aimed at inspiring people to travel?
Yes, I definitely think one of the questions I get sometimes is the book more like a guidebook telling me exactly what to do and what to see? That's definitely not what it is. I think the main goal for my book is really inspiring people to want to travel more and to see travel as a way to learn and grow rather than just a vacation or like a way to get amazing photos, which it can be and sometimes it should be. But I think what some people don't have the proper mindset around is really looking at every trip as an opportunity for yourself to really change as a person, which is obviously why the title is You Are Where You Go. I think that every place that you go becomes a part of you. And that's really the main message there, is to inspire people not only to want to travel more, but to really see travel in maybe a different light than they hadn't considered before.
Mm. With that in mind, then, do you feel that there is a sort of stigma attached to travel, in that people, I don't believe this at all. I think it's probably the opposite, but I believe it's the opposite, certainly. Do you think that there's an attitude that people might say, oh, I would travel, but I'll miss out on this job, or when I put this on my resume or my CV, an employer will think this, or whatever. Do you feel that this book to you is a bit of a protest against that sort of stigma, or a bit of a, I don't know, like a antibiotic to that sort of stigma?
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of people, especially who were in college with me, and they maybe said they wanted to study abroad, but they were afraid of missing out on like college life back home, or they were afraid of missing out on like recruiting opportunities for jobs and internships. And I think there's not too much of a valid concern there, because you can always find a job. Like, no matter what you do, there's a lot of jobs out there. There's a lot of opportunities. You just have to be patient and be able to go out and find them. I don't think that travel is ever a barrier to having career success or to having solid friendships back home. It's all a matter of like, how much are you willing to kind of put in the work to make both things happen? Like, I did a lot of, I guess, like on-campus involvement in school, but I still traveled a lot and I still have a lot of good friends at home, but now I also have friends abroad. And I think this kind of like fear of missing out that people have of, oh, if I go travel, I'll miss out on the kind of like regular things of life. I think of it the opposite way of like, if you don't travel, you're going to miss out on all of these amazing experiences that you don't even know what they could be or what they could have an impact on you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in my mind. And I think, again, we're talking about the balance that you've just mentioned, like not everyone's not going to suit the travel style that you want. You know, people who want to spend every weekend with their or regular weekends with their family or whatever, or they've got children that need to go to a regular place or whatever it might be. But it's about finding the sort of travel that suits your lifestyle and making that work for what you want as a person. Now, I always want this podcast to be quite practical, in the sense that people listening to this already agree with us. They're nodding along. They're going, yes, travel is life affirming. It is transformational. It is all of the things that Caitlin and Luke are talking about. I know that. Where do we start, though, in your mind? Where's a great pin in the map sort of place for someone who hasn't traveled that much, but wants to, but looks up at someone like yourself, looks to someone like yourself and being like, yeah, I'd like to do 10% of that, you know, or I'll do that over the next 30 years. I won't do it over 3.5. That sounds a bit crazy. That sounds a bit hectic, but you know, where would you recommend starting? Where's a great place to begin?
Yeah,
I know you've mentioned Ghana a couple of times already in the, you know, where you started your sort of venture. But I mean somewhere that's perhaps a bit more of a soft start, you know, a bit less culturally different to what we experience.
I totally get that.
In the US.
I think it's probably relative to the person. Like, I would say it's definitely advisable for you to maybe like start small, especially if you've never maybe even left your own country. You can really learn a lot and gain a lot of different perspectives just by going to a very different part of your own home state or your own home country. Like, not everywhere in the same nation has a similar kind of like social environment or socioeconomic environment. So even going to a place that's very different like that within your own kind of like comfort zone of where you're from can be a great place to start. Especially if maybe you don't have necessarily the funds to go on an amazing international trip, you can still find so many different places within your own country. Like, I wrapped up my book talking about how during the pandemic, I ended up traveling a lot of places throughout the US. And I had previously pretty much like neglected the US because I had definitely more of this intention to go to different places, experience different cultures. I felt that I would learn more from being in a different country. But I mean, the US is gigantic also, and there's so many different corners of the nation. I really feel Like, I didn't previously understand how much I could learn from my own country before I started exploring it. So I guess that'd be my first bit of advice, of definitely seek out the places within your home country or even just your home area that maybe you've never explored before, because there's ways to get out of your comfort zone, even just in a like a short vicinity around you. But also, I think a nice way to jump into kind of exploring new countries can be in some sort of group environment. I know that a lot of people have this hesitation around maybe solo traveling for the first time, and that definitely can be difficult. I didn't start by solo traveling. I had this nice little pocket of other students who were studying abroad with me, and we could go on trips together. So I think whether it's with a study abroad program or if you work remotely, there's a lot of companies out there now that will have these sort of like remote worker like opportunities for you to co-live and co-work with a lot of new people kind of in a similar situation to you, kind of in a structured format. That could be a great way to kind of jump into something very new, but also feel like you have some sort of support system and kind of comfort zone there. Or even just group trips. Like the first time I went camping on an overland safari, I had no idea what I was doing, but I booked a trip that was kind of like a group tour with like 10 to 12 other people who were all also doing this for the first time. So it wasn't so scary. And it was, even though I had no idea what the context would be like when I reached these countries in Eastern Africa that I kind of knew nothing about, I knew that being in a group, having that kind of support system would be helpful for me to start having these kind of like crazier travel experiences.
I think you're so right there. I think sometimes there can be a little bit of people frowning upon the pre-planned group trips as if it's not a valid travel experience. But I don't agree with that at all. I think actually you gain so much from the local knowledge that someone has spent hours putting in there, that any small loss that you might get by the fact that you're regimented, you know, you move on a certain day and everything, you know, yes, there's a small loss of freedom in there, but it's massively overpaid by the other side. I did one through China. When I was there, I traveled for a month through China, and I never would have been able to do that on my own, because even in the train station, it was so confusing because these places are vast and have no English writing anywhere, you know, with trains leaving every couple of minutes. I would have got so lost, you know, if I didn't have someone to tell me which platform to go to. So that's definitely something to sort of go for. So yeah, let's wrap up and talk again about your book when it's out. Who's it for? What we should expect from it? I'm really looking forward to getting my copy, particularly.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm very excited for it to finally be out in the world. It's been about a year in the making, so I'm very excited to finally get to share these stories. And the book will be finally out on November 23rd. That is the expected publication date. I submitted it all to my publisher already, so we're just waiting for the last kind of final steps to get it out to all the distribution channels. But you'll be able to find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, kind of all the typical online retailers. And it's been a fun process. I have a couple like different versions of the book with the hardcover and the paperback, and eventually hopefully making an audiobook of it sometime next year. But I would say, you asked about like who is it for. I think the target audience for the book really is anyone who either loves travel and kind of wants to also read about additional travel experiences to help them reflect on their own experiences, or really also for people who are maybe more in the crowd of, I want to travel, but maybe I haven't had the opportunity to yet. And I want to know a little bit more about what are some of the places I could be inspired to go? What are some of like the mindsets I could be inspired to have before I take these trips? And how can I really look at each trip as a different opportunity to learn something? I think that sort of crowd definitely would enjoy this book as well. So whether you're a travel lover or you're more kind of travel curious, I think anyone can really gain a lot from the stories that I share, because I really try to focus on not necessarily just like what did I do, but really how did I think about it and what were the perspectives that I gained from each trip. So even if you're not able to go and have these exact same experiences yourself, hopefully you can at least take away a perspective from the storytelling and from kind of the lessons that I share in it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really looking forward to getting my copy of that. I'll definitely be ordering it when it's out towards the end of November. where can people find you and what you do online, Instagram or your website and those sorts of things?
Yeah, so you can go to my book website. It's youarewhereyougo.com. Definitely easy, simple to memorize. And then my personal Instagram is Caitlin Lubas. It's spelled CaitlynLubas. I feel like I always have to spell it out because there's like 100 ways to spell Caitlin. But yeah, I'm on that same handle on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, any way you want to connect. I'm always happy to talk with people who want to talk more about travel.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait for the book and I look forward to seeing more of your adventures on Instagram and these sorts of things going forward. Caitlin, thank you so much. That was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I don't know about you, but I found that conversation just so, so insightful. Caitlin is so self-aware, and I think that's such a brilliant quality, isn't it? It's such an admirable quality as well. I think so many people, myself included in a lot of ways, sort of just go through life without actually thinking about the effect that has on them and how they change. You know, and we're getting deep, quite deep into sort of psychology here, big psychological points, but it's so important, isn't it? It's all a bit meta, but it's easy to think of yourself as this sort of constant thing that's always there, right? But when you actually think about it, that's not true at all. You change all of the time. Your perceptions of things change, what you like and dislike, what you think about something changes. And that is totally true with travel, isn't it? The places you go change who you are and how you react to things. As Caitlin puts it, and I thought this was such a great quote from the interview, she says, look at every trip as an opportunity to change as a person. I really like that. I'm going to take that forward to my next trip and think about how that's changing me. My next trip, which will be featured on this podcast soon. I'm not telling you anything about it yet, because I don't know what order the podcasts are going to go in. Depends on how quickly I edit them and get them out. But I've got a couple of trips planned I'm really excited about and will be on the podcast feed soon. I'll be doing episodes from the road from these trips upcoming very, very, very soon. So Caitlin's book is out now. I should have my copy at the time that this podcast is with you. Search your favourite bookstore, or I've put an Amazon link in the show notes if you want to just go there and click that. That's great. And you can connect with Caitlin on Instagram. It's Caitlin Lubas, CaitlynLubas, or youarewhereyougo.com. I would love to have you on this podcast if that's something you're interested in, if you've got a travel story to share. You don't have to have a large social media following, travel full time, or even have done the trip that recently. I want all sorts of voices on this podcast from all sorts of different people all across the world. That's my vision anyway. Reach out and let's have a conversation about it. Hello@lukerichardsonauthor.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, as I said at the start, you could help me by rating, reviewing or sharing it. That helps other interested people come on these journeys with us. Right. Thank you so much for listening to the Travel Now podcast. You can connect with me on the email. I said it earlier. Hello@lukerichardsonauthor.com or on Instagram. Luke Richer, LukeRichaa. And for information about my writing and my travels, my website is lukerichardsonauthor.com. Bucket List sponsor this podcast. To take all of the effort out of planning your life-changing trip, start today by creating an online bucket list at bucketlist.co. Share with friends, order by location, price, and then when you come to book, you can take advantage of great discounts. Thanks again. I'll see you soon for the next episode of the Travel Now podcast. Safe travels.